Well, here it is, Sunday, December 31st, 2023. Happy New Year. Before year's end, I thought there was time for one more section of eight verses in our trek through Psalm 119. So whether you have a bash of a party planned or are part of a quiet and peaceful prayer fellowship, you know, we all bring the new year in some manner or way. Maybe we even sleep through it, right? But regardless, believers find some quiet time to thank the Father for the year past and thank Him for His blessings unfolding in the new year. So here's a little more fuel. Hopefully the scriptures today will enrich your thoughts concerning your approach to trusting God and your prayers to Him and what to do with those answered prayers. Who knew? Well, David did. So today we'll be looking at verses 41 through 48, where each of these eight verses begins with the Hebrew alphabet letter Vav, V-A-U. Verse 41, Vav, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Now, mercy in this verse refers to God's loving kindness in condescending to the needs of his creatures. Throughout the Psalms, David desired that quickening of his spiritual life, to be refreshed and restored in his soul, that his heart would understand so that he would be on fire for God. He wanted God's mercies to fall upon him according to God's word. And of course, that would be all sufficiency in all things. After all, the same God that said, let there be light, could certainly say just as easily, let there be mercy upon David. Mercies is plural because there are many categorical mercies of God. David had plenty of need for mercies in many categories of life, as do we all, everyone who draws breath. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewithal to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Reproach, we've gone over it. It means to scorn, to blaspheme. But with God's delivering mercies, with giving him this enlightenment, this understanding, David would have the wise words. He would have the wisdom of God to turn back his reproachers. It would just stop them in their tracks because there's really nothing left to say when you say it is written. I think back to the wise words of Jesus when he was blasphemed by the devil, Matthew 4. The devil taunted him repeatedly. Oh, well, if you be the Son of God and so forth. But Jesus, even after fasting 40 days, was equipped with it is written. It was in his heart. And the devil had no choice but to depart from him. And then David said he trusted in God's word. And that's the place to be. Absolutely. That is the sweet spot when we can know in our hearts that we trust in God, that we trust in his word. But people sometimes cannot figure out exactly how to go about trusting God. And we covered it in part last week, but let's look a little bit more at what it looks like when we set out to trust God. It's like, you know, questions come to mind. How should I think? What can I do? We all want to trust him. And last week, of course, we looked at Proverbs 3, but again in verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Bind about the neck. Bind is a word that means to league, L-E-A-G-U-E, together. And it's in the context of this verse, it concerns a loving relationship. So we embrace the Word, the Scriptures, the mercy, the truth. We embrace it as our closest love. And in your reading of the Word, make a league of verses. Bind one verse with another. If you were matrimonially bound in a loving relationship, you would want to know every detail about about the interest of your loved one. You would want to know what made them tick. Absolutely. And that's how we grow the Word in our hearts. One verse at a time, one truth upon another, then another. So write or engrave, he says, write them upon the table of thine heart. So engrave them upon your heart. Inscribe them where you will not forget them. Now, we've all had moments in our lives that were so stunning to us that we can remember to this day what the weather was like, what I had on, where I was standing, and what I said. We could say that memory is engraved upon my heart, your heart, our hearts. And if we do not go to his Word and engrave it in our hearts, and if we choose not to bind in love, to be bound in love to keep it, then for our soul at that particular time, with that particular choice, in that situation, we have nothing to trust. So we are to trust in God, because that is to trust in his Word. So there are lessons in these verses that lead us in trusting. In verse 1, I remember thy law. Let your heart keep my commandments. You know, that's the foundation of trusting God with all your heart, remembering God's law, letting his commandments be in our hearts. And another lesson comes in the next three verses, and we will spend a little time here. Trust in the Lord. We covered Proverbs 3:5 last week also. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So we change from depending upon our own strength to depending upon God's. But for many, that's hard, because the cruelty of the spiritual enemy working in the lives of people, they have taught so many that the only way to make it through life safely is to put up a thick wall around their heart and depend on themselves. The world has engraved this on the population, that you cannot trust anyone but yourself when things get tough. So we start getting street smart, and we get our own defenses, and we get our own wisdom, and we develop our own theology about how to live. And then it seems to work. So if it's not broke, you don't try to fix it. Well, but then when we begin to look at the Word of God, he tells us he loves us. He even tells us that he has engraved us on the palms of his hand. So let's take a minute to look at this record in Isaiah 40, verse 15. It talks about us being engraved on God's hand. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." How that smacks life in the face is just incredible. So So the question is, can a mother cease to care for her own child? Can a mother fail in her tender affection and compassion on the very fruit of her own body? God says, yep, she can. Every day, unbelievable acts by parents up on their children, they're broadcast in all the news outlets, and they just make us shiver. You shudder to think that people could be so heartless. Well, it's the enemy, of course, that's the heartless one. But in this verse, God says, yes, she can, but I will not forget you. Being subject to being let down by those you have trusted, it gives the enemy access to get us hard-hearted. And then we get unwilling to ever open our hearts again for fear that we'll be hurt again. And here it is in verse 16. God's nature is this. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And there's that flashing light that gets our attention, that first word, behold. Pay attention. Listen up. It reads, God has engraved each of us on the palms of his hands. And first, I think of how God engraved the tablets of stone that had the Ten Commandments for Moses, remember? And then how by way of us desiring his word, it talks about it in 2 Corinthians 3:3, he says he engraves his truth upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. And when truths get engraven there, you don't need paper to write down notes. You remember it. It's hidden in your heart because God puts it there with understanding. And when we consider how people might be hardened and afraid, it's like they're almost bound. They are unable. There's an inability, a spiritual inability, to trust God. And especially when by experience, they learned they could not even trust the people they could see. So now you're wanting me to trust in something I can't see? It makes no sense to them. And when we see these, doesn't it draw the compassion to help? I get it, and I know you do too. It's very heartbreaking. So what can they do? Well, we've all done it. Unlearn. But we don't have to do that by ourselves. More specifically, that you desire with all your heart to believe God's love, because his love cannot change its mind and shake you loose from him. I don't want to love this person anymore. And you're shaking trying to get loose. No, God can't do that. He's got us. You are engraved, inscribed. You are chiseled upon the palms of his hands. And with this knowledge and your desire to be free of the bondage of where you've been, you make the choice for your life to open your heart to him and take the steps to depend on him and stop depending on your own survival skills that we have hewn out. Oh boy, isn't it something? And as in all the Psalms, David laid his heart before God. He spoke plainly from his heart to the Creator who loved him, whose love is faithful, true, and eternal. He cried unto God. He surrendered his carnal strength. He surrendered his earthly wisdom. He submitted to God. He came out from behind the mortared walls that he might have been hiding behind at various points in his life, and lest he be hurt again. And he gave it all to God to fix. And we can do that too. Every time we go to God to pray, to praise, to thank him, we are demonstrating that we believe His ways are indeed higher than our ways. And they are. How do I know that? Because God's word says it, and I trust His word. When we talk to Him, He hears us. 1 John 5, 14-15. We've covered that recently. And if He hears us, He answers. And another lesson in Proverbs 3:7, the conclusion of that verse tells us to depart from evil. Now, my literal on that is avoid it like the plague. Instead, we set the intentions of our heart to pursue God, to pursue His heart. There's a song by Third Day called Soul on Fire. And I think of the lyrics as I think of pursuing God and desiring God. And the chorus goes, God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart till I'm a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. Well, all I can say is that a fire doesn't get going without a spark. And even going to the Word and starting with one verse, you're gonna get a spark. And if you keep sparking along, you're gonna have a fire. That's right. In these scriptures are lessons upon lessons, and that is how the Word of God unfolds to us. Trusting in Him, we remember the truths and the verses we read. We pour out our desires to Him, our intentions, what we're gonna do, and we shun evil because evil, thinking evil, we keep going back to our street smarts. It's a curse upon our good intentions, and it is an attack on the verses that we have read. So it puts our spark out, and then we have to start all over again. You know, that's how we begin to become God-centered. Our previous learned distrust and self-dependence will get gobbled up by God's love, because fear cannot abide in the presence of God's love when God's love is known and believed. When we have settled the score on God's love for our heart, fear goes. It departs. In verse 43, Psalm 119:43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Now, this verse is in the sense of David's plea for the word of truth to be on his tongue at every occasion, at all times. He had asked for understanding. He wanted to experientially know the truths, and he wanted to know the foundations that upheld God's laws. He desired a super abundant supply of enthusiasm to always be in his soul so that he could speak, because his hope, his expectation was in God's judgments. And with the abundance of joy and blessing in his heart from knowing and doing the word, David now starts. He's going to do some things. The remaining verses in this section of eight verses should capture our attention, because David now goes into what he is going to do with all the answered prayers. In verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Liberty means that David will exercise freedom. He's not going to feel bound in that his tongue will cleave to the roof of his mouth for fear of his life, or somebody's not going to like him anymore. No, he will not fear because he knows God will lead him with wisdom. He will direct his steps. So he's just going to be ready to speak when that urging from God says speak. And he knows in his heart he's supposed to speak. He trusts that God will direct his path, that he will open ways for him to speak to the congregations of people in his life. There are times when we know we are not to speak. That's also at God's urging. But David, the point was David was going to be free to do whatever God was urging him to do. You know, think about what Jesus told the Judeans that believed on him in John 8. Verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Judeans which believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, my followers.'" Indeed. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It will set you at liberty, knowing the truth. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, the Jews had asked him a question. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, serves sin." He's the servant of sin. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Well, we have believed on the Son, and the Son has made us free. We love God. We love our neighbors out of a pure heart. And in this way, we serve our Lord Christ. We no longer serve sin to remain under that bondage. We are free indeed with no need to fear, no need to be anxious for even a single thing, be it material, be it physical, be it spiritual. God is our supply. Verse 46 continues with David's plans for his answered prayers. "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself," verse 47, "in thy commandments which I have loved." Verse 48, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." My hands, it provides a beautiful illustration. Hands make lifted up, they make a vessel for holding or catching something. Like if you were out on a hot summer day and there was a faucet outside, you might cup your hands under that faucet to catch a drink of water. In fact, the word for my hands is translated 24 times as spoon. So it's a vessel to catch something. David is going to lift up his spoons to catch and hold the commandments because he loves them. David cried out to God, "Give me, give me, give me," all throughout the psalm. "Give me, give me, give me." His requests were for spiritual sufficiency to bolster him in his endeavors to love God all the more. The world is hard, and he got pummeled in more ways than one on a daily basis. The enemy was on his scent every second. He needed refreshing. "Give me refreshing. Give me restoration in his soul," so that he could keep fitting two more verses together. "God, just fit two more verses together for me so I can stay energized in my heart. I want to be a soul on fire for you." David cried, "Give me." Yes, he did. But his heart was to give back of all that he received. David repeatedly commits his heart to God on how he is going to spend the answers to prayers that God gave him. Did you ever think of that? We pray, we get our answered prayer. Now, how do I spend that? How do I spend my increase? Well, He definitely utilized his answered prayers by directing the sufficiency right back to the work of God. He truly and thoroughly gave of the first fruits of all his increase. He utilized everything God gave him, whether in the way of material blessings or spiritual blessings of understanding. He gave the cream off the top, to speak, for God, that others could know about God's amazing faithfulness, generosity, and love. And at this point, it is time to say Happy New Year. Be safe and be blessed, and our prayers to the Father always include our thankfulness for each one of you. God bless you.